this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's one from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Police say at 10:45 a.m., a 36-year-old man walked into an Arby's. That's right, an Arby's restaurant. He began screaming and demanding food in a total state of panic. It didn't take officers long to arrive and arrest him. He told them that he was a time traveler from the future and that Earth had run out of food and he had just about starved to death before getting the time traveling technology to work. And so he demanded they make him a sandwich. Then he said the future depended on him getting a lot of food for himself and taking it back to the future. How can you argue with a case like that? Give that man a damn sandwich. Thank you for joining us, folks. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer, perhaps the starving man himself, Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. Yeah, I was a little bit hungry earlier and realized that was probably because I'd forgot to eat today.
This show gives people the munchies, you know.
Yeah, well, I shoved a couple of soft pretzels and some store-bought barbecue that was not very good in the old gullet and got some cookies over here by the board, so we're good to go.
It's amazing how radio can influence people. You start talking about, you know, oh, how good your pizza is. People, they want to go buy a pizza. You know what I'm playing with right now, Sam?
I was going to say yourself, but it's not 11 o'clock yet.
Yesterday I went and I bought a Slinky Junior. When is the last time you played with a Slinky?
Well, what's the Junior? Is it just a smaller Slinky?
Yeah, it's a small one. It actually kind of sucks because doesn't walk down steps.
Could you not afford the actual Slinky? Or
The economy's gotten so bad, they only have Slinky Junior at the store now.
Well, you are in Puerto Rico, so...
Yeah, you can't even buy the big Slinky. So now everybody's going to be like, man, I want to go get a Slinky. It's been a while. I love a Slinky.
I don't think I've ever... I'm a toy fanatic. You know I love my toys, but I have never really craved a Slinky that much.
Really? You have a Slinky?
I had one as a child, and it walked downstairs sometimes.
Kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I predict you will soon have a new Slinky.
Okay.
Subliminal.
And you may hear a voice chirping in the background there. Yes, it is the voice of a woman who never turns down patrons from the future. It's Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Do you have a Slinky, Shelley?
I do not have a Slinky. I had a Slinky when I was growing up, but not anymore.
And do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
We can make people, we can make them crave whatever we want here on the radio.
But it's I had Mexican before I came in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because in North Carolina, there are Mexican restaurants on every street. And here in Puerto Rico, you don't find much Mexican food. Puerto Ricans and Mexicans are classic historic rivals.
Really?
Yeah, they're always pitted against each other in boxing matches or basketball games. And so if you want to agitate a Puerto Rican, you know, call them a Mexican.
Ooh.
And so,
I do that to my – I have a friend, a good friend that used to work here. Do you remember Rodrigo?
Yes.
Yeah, and so every time I go to New York, he works in radio up there, and I see him, and he's Colombian. And I like to call him Puerto Rican just because it enrages him. All in good fun, you know. I mean, nothing.
It's amazing how different the Latin cultures are from one another in so many ways that, you know, you wouldn't realize until you go to the countries and you meet the people and you learn about the culture. But, you know, there is an old, historic, revered culture in the United States, and it exists around the U.S. Capitol, all that area. Around, obviously, you've got D.C., and you've got Philadelphia, you've got Maryland, and I've got a special treat for everybody for the program tonight, and that is because, you know, I talked when we recorded our last show, and then again recently on Coast to Coast AM, about this lady named Lisa Molden, who took a photograph in a tavern in Annapolis, Maryland, that appears to show what she believes is the full-bodied apparition of President George Washington. Now, I get sent a lot of ghost photos, and whenever I get these photographs, I mean, right off the bat, 90% of the time I can say, well, this is dust or moisture or some kind of a flare or a reflection. You know, there's a whole list of normal things. But this one I couldn't explain so easily, and I sent it to my team of crack experts. And let me tell you, she sent us the original file, and we were able to run the metadata through programs, and we were able to break this down to the exact second she took it. I mean, we can literally tell you scientifically, this is the second that she took the camera, the second of the minute of the hour. We can tell you the direction the camera was pointed. We can tell you the elevation that the camera was at. We can tell you all these mind-blowing statistics about the camera and the settings that were being used. I mean, we can tell you all the information that you can pretty much imagine about what the environment was like when this photo was taken. It's an authentic photo. And this woman, Lisa Molden, she said that she knew that that was a place where George Washington's ghost was often seen. But she said that she was specifically trying to get Washington to show up. And that's because this lady, Lisa Molden, says that she is able to communicate with the spirits of the presidents. Now, I know that may sound completely bonkers to some of you, but I must tell you, I've talked to this lady before, and she sounds very, very rational. And I think you'll be surprised when you hear her in her own words talk about her background communicating with the presidents. And so tonight, for the first time, as far as I know, ever, she's going to come on to this show, and she's going to tell us not only about this photograph that she took, but she's also going to tell us about the communication that she has had with pretty much all the U.S. presidents. And they're all trying to tell us something right now. And that's very interesting in this particular election year because it's such an unusual election year. And so she's going to come on the program tonight, hour number two. And I ask you to keep an open mind and just listen to what she has to say. She has recorded so many of these messages from these presidents, but she has a book coming out soon called Presidential Souls, in which she has recorded, you know, some of these messages that they're trying to pass along to the American people. So that's coming up, hour number two of the program tonight, and that's going to be pretty fascinating. If you have not seen this photograph, go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and scroll down the homepage, and you'll not only see the photograph, but you'll also see enhancements that have been done. All the enhancements. And you'll find that one of the cool things about this is she took control photos as well. It just happened to work out that way. She had pictures before and after that I was able to compare everything to, and we'll talk more about what that means. And you know what? Considering she took this picture inside of a tavern, an active restaurant, it occurred to me, hey, maybe they have security footage inside the establishment there that also would show this thing. And so she has contacted them, and tonight she's going to tell us on the program what she found out about what the establishment may or may not have on their own cameras. So we may be breaking some news about that tonight as well. Exciting show. There's so much stuff going on. I have a whole long list of things. I've got some weird news. Wait till you hear about this new surgery they've come out with that will give people superhuman vision. That's pretty crazy. But we're about to take our first break. And when we come back from the break, I think this is clearly a good opportunity to share with all of you a story about the late musician Prince. And that is because I actually had a personal brush with Prince, and I'm not even sure if I've ever told this story on the radio before. And so obviously, since he just passed away a few days ago, as I think everybody on Earth knows, at the age of 57, it's an interesting time to look back on the life of a very unusual man. So when we return from this break, I will tell you about what I encountered when I had a run-in with him years ago in Chicago. Very interesting time.
Heady times in Chicago, yeah, with Prince.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, as you get older, you start seeing all these people die.
Like we talked about last show, April.
Yeah.
And well, since then, yeah, a lot of weird, and like I've had a lot of friends' parents pass away in the last few weeks. A lot, yeah, of celebrity deaths in the last few weeks. April, there's something, yeah, going on.
You're right, Sam. It is happening. And it's not over yet. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get this show officially on the road. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, it's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. By the way, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Whatever I got to lose, money I say, bring a red car. close my eyes when you drove me to the place where your horses run free. Cause I felt a little ill when I saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night.
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. Okay, so here is my Prince story. I would say quite a few years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, I was in Chicago, one of my favorite cities, doing some research, and a friend of mine, I won't name any names, had a daughter who was the manager of pretty much the biggest nightclub in all of Chicago. This was a place, it's no longer this business, it used to be called the Excalibur, and it was in the most incredible building downtown. Basically, in downtown Chicago, there is this giant castle that was built in the 1800s, and I mean, it's gothic, it's got gargoyles, it looks amazing, it's extremely haunted, it's been on probably all the ghost hunting type of programs, and so yeah, it's been a nightclub of some kind for quite a few years. So at that time it was called the Excalibur. And my friend said, hey, my daughter, the manager, said that you can come over to this place and take a private tour before they open, because they didn't open until the evening. He says, take a private tour and maybe bring some meters and do a little, you know, preliminary ghost investigation. So my friends and I went over to the Excalibur. What an amazing building. And she's showing us around, and she was very nice. And this place had gosh knows how many stories. And she's taking us up floor by floor and showing us all the different bars and the dance floors. And she said, yeah, we've had a really busy day because Prince is having his after-show party here tonight. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I had heard that Prince was going to be performing in Chicago that night. She says, yeah, yeah, he has reserved the entire top floor of this building, and he's going to have like a crazy blowout. And so she took us up there to the very top floor where they were setting everything up. And, I mean, you wouldn't believe how elaborate it was. They had, you know, two or three bars and, you know, like a feast set up there and all kinds of crazy lights. And, I mean, you name it. So anyway, she took us back downstairs and she said, hey, if you guys want to come back tonight later on, you know, I'll put you on the list so that you can get in. Now, let me pause here and say she did not have permission to put us on Prince's private guest list, but she was just saying that we could get back into the club for free. And that's a pretty big deal because this is one of those clubs where there's like two big dudes standing out front and they're like, you can come in, not you. You come in, not you. I mean, literally, that's what they do. So anyway, later that night, my friends and I, we go back. And we probably would not have even made it in there if it weren't for the arrangement. So
you were probably
inside,
wearing your duster.
Maybe. and we're still, you know, pretty young, nerdy looking guys at this point. So we go into this, you know, big esteemed nightclub, and when we walk in, now this is I don't know what time, I'm going to say like 9 or 10 o'clock. We go in there. The place is just jammed with attractive, scantily clad women. Okay, it's just tons of them. So they're passing around, you know, free shots everywhere. There's like electricity in the air. We're having a good time, and we were there for probably like a couple hours. Everybody's kind of waiting, and finally, after, you know, again maybe two, maybe more hours, the front door opens. And this entourage comes pouring in, and there is little Prince. Okay, he was a tiny, dainty little man.
And he's right in the middle of this entourage. And Prince, as it turns out, again, he's on the top floor. Well, I happened to be standing right at the bottom of the main stairwell. And Prince looks over at me, and his hypnotic, famous eyes locked with mine. And Prince starts making a beeline straight for my direction. And at that point, I realize there is this just storm cloud of women that just go tearing after him. Prince walks straight up to me with his entourage. They blow right past me. And then suddenly, before I could even process what's happening, I'm literally being trampled by a herd of high heels, okay? I mean, just like blasted out of the way. Once the dust settles, I get up, I look around. Downstairs, it's me, my friends, and like a dozen other guys. It's like somebody took a vacuum cleaner and sucked every single woman out of the bottom of the of that club. They were all just gone. And left in their wake, again, myself, a handful of other guys sitting there kind of dizzy and bruised with high heel prints on our foreheads, wondering exactly what had just happened. We had a few sad drinks, nursed our wounds, and then just went home for the night. So the point is...
What's the point?
Huh?
I was going to throw in a similar Prince antidote.
Okay, well, let me put the point to my story. Is, yes, Prince is dead, but don't feel sorry for Prince, because that guy had a good life.
He had, he did have a magnetism. He had, you know, it's like certain people of that caliber, like, you know, like Bono or, you know, Bruce Springsteen, somebody who can, like, control a room just by their presence, you know. And my buddy, a few years ago, he was a musician. He's still a musician, but he was out in Hollywood, L.A. And he was had some friends that were like the bouncers at B.B. King's Blues Club there. And they were having some award show. He wanted to see some country guy. They're like, yeah, we'll get you in. You know, no problem. So Jason is rocking his Waylon Jennings T-shirt, flip-flops, you know, not dressed at all for this occasion. And they didn't just get him in. They actually sat him at a table. But there was a lot of empty seats, and he's like, and then out of nowhere, there was like 5 7-foot-tall black dudes and tiny little Prince right in the middle, and they're walking towards the table, and he's like, and with Prince are girls that are so hot that I believe they have been genetically manufactured in a basement that Prince has somewhere, because he's like, I couldn't tell what ethnicity they were, what color. He's like, they were just so exotic and so like not what you'd be used to seeing. They were like these crazy, perfect, beautiful girls. And, you know, Prince had this entourage of women and huge bodyguards and just sat down right next to him at the table. And he was like godsmacked, you know. And, that, I mean, it's like, you know, for him, that's Prince sitting down. For somebody else, that's like a story. It's like you're like, Prince ain't, you know, on his deathbed probably didn't be like, you know, I remember that guy at the time. But anybody that crossed paths with him, like, that's like a story for the rest of their life, you know.
Yeah, none of these have good endings, but it was a moment in time.
Give me one.
Hey, you know what that is? Time. Can you hear that, Sam?
The world's smallest violin.
It's the world's smallest Slinky Junior.
It's close.
All right, so here's a story. Okay, you know, before I get into some of these bigger stories I've got. Because I've got one about, again, a superhuman eyesight surgery. I've got one that's really, really nuts about what people are smoking these days to get high. But here's a quick one before we go to our next break. Here's a story from Ireland. A 27-year-old man broke into a shop in the county Durham there and made off with a number of items. And when the cops arrived on the scene, they found he had knocked over a tin of white paint and left a series of shoe prints on the street outside. Well, guess what? They followed the paint trail, and it took them straight to the robber's house. They went inside. They checked his shoes. Yep, it was him. So it took them about 30 minutes to solve the crime because they literally followed a trail to his house. He was caught white-footed.
I was going to say, like, I was going to try to work in a gumshoe reference. But, you know, like a detective. But
good try.
Yeah.
Good try. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yeah, wait till you hear what people are smoking these days to get high. And, well, all kinds of other weird stuff. Maybe even some Nazi news we'll get to. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. That should be on your fridge by now, 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. Of his depravity. It's called Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. The show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And if you want to learn more about Wright's Coin Shop, just go to speakingofstrange.com and click the banner there at the top of the page. Also, at speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a live chat during the show. You'll find regular updates on weird news around the world and topics discussed, links to the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours at hauntedasheville.com, all kinds of good stuff. And you know, if you really want to stay updated on the best weird news in the world, I cannot recommend highly enough the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. There's a link to it right there at speakingofstrange.com. And, you know, Mobius for years has stayed right on top of that page and just keeping new stuff posted in real time as it comes out. And over the years, some of the great content that we've also received has come from one of the show's biggest fans, Mr. Joshua Dindy, whom I have mentioned on this program before. And so we are happy to officially welcome him to the Speaking of Strange Facebook family. He is now been made an administrator, and he and Mobius both are going to be providing some great content there at the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. So welcome, Sir Joshua Dindy. He's one of those guys who is always looking up things on the internet that you're not supposed to look up, and now he has a good explanation, a good excuse when his wife asks him what he's been doing. Let's get back to some of the news. Here is an interesting one. They say there is a new surgery that will give you superhuman vision forever. It only takes 8 minutes. This is a bionic eye lens, and they say that It's not just going to give you 20/20 vision. It's going to give you three times what we call 20/20 vision, if you can believe that. They say with this remarkable lens, patients will have absolute perfect vision, and they'll never have to worry about cataracts because this lens replaces the lens of the recipient's natural eye. So that they say you need to be 25 or older to get it. And they say that it's so fantastic that it says you can see the world as you've never seen it before. If you can barely see a clock from 10 feet away, if you get the bionic lens, you can see it clearly at 30 feet away. They say it's that the lens is folded in a saline-filled syringe and placed into the eye, where it takes about 10 seconds for it to unravel into place. And so the whole thing can be done again in about 8 minutes, and they say it's only going to cost about $3,000. So I personally, I do wear glasses, and I don't have to wear glasses because my vision is not terrible. I do need them to drive these days. That just happened recently. But I still, you know, I can get by most of the time without them. Like when I go snorkeling, I don't need to wear glasses to see the fish. But I just have a big problem getting LASIK surgery, which is very popular now, because, hey, all it takes is one little screw up and you could be blind, and there's no reversing that. But tons of people get LASIK, and I'm sure tons of people are going to get this. And this is one of those true first steps to the human cyborg. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how this evolves over time. But it also is going to be sort of spooky because it's going to sort of revolutionize what people are able to notice about other people and their environment. Here is a story about what people are doing now in order to get high. And I guess this is not surprising when you hear it. It kind of makes sense. But anytime I hear about new ways that people are taking a trip, so to speak, it always strikes me as bizarre. People right now are smoking scorpions, and this has become a really big thing to do in the Middle East. One man they talked to in this news story, 20 years old, and he has gotten rich from apparently helping people find scorpions to smoke.
Yeah, I mean, says he. It was in the Middle East, like, you know, it's not Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
But it could be. It could be.
I'll do some research.
Well, you see, the thing is, they say people get these scorpions and they cut the tail off, and then they smoke the tail because that's where most of the poison is. And it says that, I mean, you can pretty much smoke it like it's a cigarette, but the high lasts for almost 10 hours. The first 6 hours can be very painful as the body adjusts to the high, but then slowly that feeling eases into enjoyment. And one person they talked to said, quote, "Everything appears like it is dancing. The roads, the vehicles, everything in front of me," end quote. And this can lead to all kinds of different hallucinations and delusions. One person says smoking causes the state where the person has a perception of something which is not present, end quote. Now, yes, of course, this can be deadly, and people who smoke this often have sunken eyes, pale faces, hollow cheeks, that kind of thing. So it definitely makes some kind of an impact on the body.
That being said, that if any of the listeners out there know where to source scorpions, please contact Joshua P. Warren. There's no P, no period after the P. And contact him. He'll get them to me. And,
well, you know, when you go out to the American Southwest, where scorpions are prevalent, you can go into gas stations and they'll sell you little UV flashlights. because scorpions fluoresce under UV light. And so you can go out to the desert at night and turn on your UV light, and the scorpions will glow. And I actually went out scorpion hunting one night with one of those lights. I did not find a scorpion, but it is interesting to see other things that fluoresce on the desert floor, various little stones and whatnot.
It makes one wonder if you shine a UV light on to the band, the scorpions, do they fluoresce?
They could if they wanted to. You know, if you take tonic water and put it under a black light, a UV light, it fluoresces. So if you're going to have like a Halloween party and you want to make it look extra cool, make sure there's a little tonic in everybody's beverage. Or maybe you could have a fountain with some tonic water in it,
also,
and everything will glow.
Tide detergent. We used to do that, you know, at college or whatever.
Battle fluoresce?
Yeah, you would paint on the walls with it, and you couldn't see. And then you turn the black light on, and bam, everything is glowing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, next story. Here's a very kind of crazy one that taps right into the Nazi obsession with the occult. Heinrich Himmler was the SS chief under Hitler. Now, this guy was obsessed with the occult and mysticism. Whenever you hear these stories, well, yeah, you know, they talk about this in Indiana Jones, and it's popular, and like the Wolfenstein game and all that sort of thing. Well, it's all true. This guy, Heinrich Himmler, apparently had a giant stash of books on witchcraft, which has just been discovered after being hidden for 50 years. This is a very rare library of books on witches and the occult. It was discovered in the Czech Republic. He believed that understanding this sort of magical essence held the key to Aryan supremacy in the world. They say the books, part of a 13,000-strong collection.
Wow.
Were found in a depot of the National Library of the Czech Republic, an area that has not been accessed since the 1950s. It says he, Himmler, in 1935, founded the H. Sonderkommando, H standing for Hex, the German word for witch, and the bulk of the collection was called the Witches' Library. It concentrated on witches and their persecution in medieval Germany. And one of Himmler's theories was that the Roman Catholic Church tried to destroy the German race through witch hunts. And so this is just more documentation that the Nazis really were looking into all of these sort of paranormal angles to try to dominate the world.
They didn't leave too many stones unturned. In a lot of matters like that, you know, I mean, they, like, some of them are based in reality and some of them maybe a little more out there, but like when you watch, like, get hooked on a Sunday afternoon History Channel Nazi-a-thon or something, you always learn the craziest things about that, you know?
That's very true. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the CIA has made a mistake. Uh-oh, what is it? I'm going to explain. It has to do with an experiment and school children. Yep. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange. Granddaddy down here. They only come a ten about twice a year.
We'll be right back.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. You know, years ago I had an idea for a cheesy horror movie called Cougar with an exclamation point. This is before they started calling older women cougars. And in my movie, it was just going to be scene after scene where, with people doing mundane stuff, you know, just like a guy's fishing at the pond with his son and everything's going well. And then a cougar jumps out and just shreds them. And then maybe, you know, a guy's at the barber shop getting his hair cut or whatever. And then cougars are just appearing phantasmally out of nowhere and shredding people. Does that sound like a hit or what, Sam?
It sounds like it could have been a straight to video, which which now are very, you know, pricey. So in that sense of the word, it later on would be a hit then.
This year my new movie The Commodore is going to
The Commandant.
Yeah. And next hour, when we come back from our break, next hour, folks, we're going to have Lisa Molden with us. She's joining us from Maryland. This, again, is the lady who took the now famous photograph last December of what appears to be the ghost of President George Washington inside a tavern he used to frequent. This is a tavern that was used by the Freemasons for their meetings, and all the forefathers used to go there and meet and plan things. And she's going to come on the show, and she's going to tell us about taking that photograph, as well as her ability to communicate, to channel the spirits of the presidents, and what the messages are that they have for all of us today.
Only presidents, though? Like, can she do other people, or is she just stuck with, like, John Adams? Howard,
well, I think that, you know, she can, but she seems to be a magnet for the presidents, is what I understand. And also, I think she works as like an accountant or something like that. So, I mean, she's a lady who has a very strategic sort of organized mind. And a lot of these folks who are channels, you know, they seem to be a little bit more like all over the place. But she's not like that. So it's going to be really interesting to see what she has to tell us, what messages to pass along. Here's a story I'll share with you from Virginia, that neck of the woods. Of course, you have the CIA training facility up there.
Quantico.
And, yeah. And recently, the CIA was doing a training exercise with explosive C4. And they took a school bus as part of a – and again, this is just an exercise – and they hid some actual active C4 on the school bus, and then they were training their canine unit to see if the dogs could sniff out the C4 and find it on the school bus, hypothetically, you know, saving some kids. However, in a monumental error after the exercise,
monumental,
they forgot to remove the C4 from the school bus.
Oh, crap.
Jenkins is getting fired over that one.
And the bus, yes, was put directly back into its normal commission.
You think they would get a bus that was not, you know, in service?
Right. Maybe not a school bus.
It's like that day those kids didn't even make it home. They're like, sorry, your bus is being commandeered, which is the sequel
we
to The Commandant.
We got C4 on it.
Yeah.
You'll get it back if everything comes out okay.
Yeah. Crazy.
It was put right back, you know, transporting children. We're talking about taking, I mean, I think they say usually 26 kids.
To be fair, they were the bad kids, though. So.
They were the bad kids.
So they had put this putty, this C4 explosive putty, under the hood of the school bus and in a couple other locations. Now, the dog successfully found the material, but they say that, you know, the clock, you know, reached a certain hour and they all went home to have dinner and nobody realized they needed to remove the C4. Fortunately, it did not explode. They realized the error before there was any type of an issue. It does take a very specific sort of mechanism to explode C4.
It's pretty stable, right?
It's not like old dynamite.
Yeah, and so they were able to realize the mistake and go and remedy the situation. And they say at the CIA they are now taking immediate steps to strengthen their inventory and control procedures in their K-9 program, and they are conducting a thorough and independent review. They say they're very upset by what happened, but are going to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
You remember, like, on the A-Team when you were a kid, like, they'd always be using that C4, like, you know, and the plastique. I tried to make my own out of Silly Putty and firecracker gunpowder and stick it to a tree because I thought it doesn't work like that. Turns out that does not work.
You know, there's no doubt about it. If you and I were born 10 or 15 years later, Sam, we would both have ended up in jail for some of the experiments that we did as kids.
Dad's like, sure, go ahead. Well, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Here's a lighter. Yeah. Have fun.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Lisa Molden, and we're going to talk to her about what the presidents want to say to us. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. You are listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. 7 years of baby.